Here we go. We have here for you.
I'll present them to you.
Okay.
Number one is a two-page letter.
Wow.
Responding to your poem.
Uh-huh.
From last time, that's responding to your poem. That's one thing. And we have hockey ink.
All right.
Along with a Makin' Whoopee. That's where Barbara's from, Macon, Georgia. That's where she lives. They have a hockey team.
Love you.
And Makin' Whoopee poster or sign, whatever the hell that is. And the creme de la creme.
Uh-huh.
The creme de la creme, Mark.
All right.
You know,
I'm waiting.
A genuine...
All right!
Makin' Whoopee hockey puck.
Oh, I love it. Barbara. Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
Oh,
picture of, what is it again? Beth, right?
Beth, say hello, Mikolo.
Beth.
Beth? Okay. Beth. All
right. You will likely see Barbara before I do. It's more likely than not.
It'll be a while.
But, when you do,
yeah.
Just give her just like a warm embrace. It's like, you know, I say it's for me because she's great.
Can I feel her up? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Barbara. This is on tape. I'm sure I'm going to put this on the highlights tape. Okay. Isn't that great?
President Bill getting his Makin' Whoopee t-shirt.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that if you read that little sign there, it explains that the Makin' Whoopee were their team like 20 years ago. And now the Makin' Whoopee are new. They're back. It's like they didn't have a team for a while. That's what it seems to say there.
Wow.
So, and that's why not an inaugural season and all. So. All right. Barbara gets free tickets, free puffs and stuff.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then they have Prairie Home Companion come on. I find that show loathsome.
Really?
It's like fake rural life for people who drive Volvos. It is so snide.
Yeah, Mark, that's a great line, man. That's perfect. That describes it completely. Oh, Prairie Home Companion on public radio? Was it fake rural life for people who drive Volvos?
Yeah.
God, I salute you. That's perfect. Yeah.
That hour
was just like what I needed. That's cool. Alright, well, clear your stuff. Okay. Oh, no.
I always heard you smiling. Now we're heading for a different world. And a full star. You guys in the world. You leave on a tree. New distance between us.
Just make it up, Jim.
Drink the vast ale so smoothly. Say you sail again. Found out the problem, you had no boat. Thought you were gonna drown once more. So you came back swimming. You thought you were tripping for. Sudden your LSD trip, you woke up on the floor in the bathtub.
All right.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you.
That was good. You made
third
it.
Verse was impromptu.
Okay. Now, I have to present to each of you Cynical number 2021, summer 97, special double issue, We Love the World Too Much, Rick Amonte's Letters and Poetry from Seattle.
Yay.
Let's get a round of applause. And I advise looking at the front cover and then the back cover before looking inside. cover and the... Oh, you looked at the back cover first.
Jim, you've now been on the front and back cover of the Sonic. Which is a record.
It really does access...
Oh my god.
I'm sorry. That was very funny. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
It gets squirted.
I'm sorry. And you'll see that there's not only typed versions of the letters, but I enclosed little excerpts from what the letters actually look like. All sorts of stuff he sent me, basically. He sent me a lot of different stuff with the letters.
That's pretty good.
That was at the Beacon Hill. I was in the shadow of the
the
Capitol.
I got a bottle of wine there. That was sick.
And he's got a bottle of whiskey or something.
He's got, I don't know, what is this? Maybe he was up his radiator or something.
But it's great. It's great. You're both smiling. His face, color reproduced in black and white, comes out dark, and yours comes out light. It's kind of funny. It's a great picture, Jim.
No, I'm glad.
Yeah. And then the other one's good, too, because I figure it's him and his two favorite modes, drinking and writing, you know? I guess fucking would be the third mode, but it would, you know, that's within in the pages, so you don't really need that on the back cover.
Oh, this is excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it. I worked for a long time on it.
Yeah.
It's good writing. It's very interesting. It's very, some of it's very funny, like yours. Some of it's very philosophical. You know, I think you'll like it. It's basically the story of a working man artist in America, you know, struggling along, trying to make, get by, get high, fly. But the way the letters are, I mean, really anybody can enjoy them. That's the thing.
Huh? Are you still behind now? Or?
Well,
temporarily.
No, I'm not really. I'm not. If you go to the computer in World Baha'i Headquarters, there's still a name with my number attached to it.
Name and number. Yeah. Tag it.
Yeah. 0111710.
But if a woman went down on you tonight, you'd not start citing scripture, right?
No.
Well, that's good. That means you're not a Baha'i monk. Official. And if Rick Amonte suddenly manifested here with a grin and a bottle of that kind of wine that you like, you'd not turn him down.
Oh, I have bones to pick on you.
Oh, no.
What did I do?
He said a trick.
Oh,
I heard that he got a bottle of wine, he used a bottle of wine, so he put it in the interview.
And it went bad. I didn't drink it. Whole bottle of wine, $7 bottle of wine.
Oh, fuck.
Look at that face.
Oh, sorry. You're a lordy lord. On the astral planes of reality. Bad wine. Oh.
I had to throw out the bottle, the cork, the pieces of glass. I had to spill it in the toilet and flush.
There's broken glass in the wine, Jim.
Well, you know, it happens.
That's not an excuse. I gave you the chunk. I gave you the smooth kind, not the chunky kind.
You gotta strain it out. You gotta strain it out to 2 microns.
Oh, man.
Oh man, all the wine. Oh well, it's true.
Well, I guess I tried to explain to Ray that he was kind of drunk. Well, I bought a Heffernreffer and what was that? Crazy Horse.
Crazy Horse, and then I went out and got another bottle.
Yeah.
I was thirsty. I didn't drink it, though. That's the funny thing. I didn't drink it.
See, I think there's a difference between a person who drinks and a drinking man.
Mm.
I drink, but I'm not a drinking man.
Oh, that is a big difference. I respect that. All right. Okay, so you've got a poem, you've got Barbara's letter.
Yeah.
Any other, like, random prose projects you've begun recently?
Well, I have the opening paragraph from the cover letter for the Hartford Whalers Revival Club.
We'll save that for last, Mark. Save that for last. We'll just, like, save it for fucking last. Whenever last comes, that's when I'm going to point at you and read it, okay?
Yeah.
When Alex throws this out, says, get out, it's 11:30, it's Polish National Pig Day or something, I'll point at you and say, Mark, it's last, read the Whalers Revival Theme Club paragraph.
Yeah. I had the excerpts from a hockey letter I never sent you.
See, you've got a little bit of stuff going there.
Yeah.
You're like Gaudí, you know who Gaudí is?
Who's that?
He was a sculptor, and he was famous for, like, he'd have these great monstrous-sized artworks, but they'd never be done, he'd never finished them.
Wow.
So you're like the Gaudí of letters, you know? Gaudí of letters. You finish things once in a while, but you know. Often you
well,
just leave.
That's why I do poems. They're short.
Yeah, exactly. Often you just leave it to the reader's imagination to wonder how things would have gone. Sort of like radio on the page, you know.
Yeah.
The golden age of radio in books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was nice. That was funny.
Lord went straight.
Barbara sent, for me, Barbara sent Charette.
Hey,
a hockey puck of the making.
I saw you there.
A hockey puck of the making whoopee.
You know, distracted.
A hockey puck of the making whoopee.
Hockey puck making whoopee.
And a letter.
Doesn't that look,
almost like. Not quite.
He described it. Jim had a good analogy. Hockey puck is like a woman. They're both round.
That was pretty accurate. I mean,
you know. So, Jerry, you didn't hear about my activities at the Sliders Cafe last night.
No.
And you weren't awakened by them, which is I'm thankful for. And you didn't hear about the police cruiser.
My
God. But it's okay. None of us were busted.
So this is a
all went out. It all worked out okay.
Is this for, play?
They didn't even give Mark a breathalyzer test.
What
they didn't even give Mark a breathalyzer test.
Huh. Yeah, he was sober.
I got somewhat drunk. At one point, Mark said he'd buy me a beer if I danced around the bar at Sliders singing the Hartford Whalers theme song.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I did. Okay. And I scared a couple of women. I was coming around the far end of our turn, and I saw these two women. They looked at me. I looked at them. There was fear in their eyes. They looked horrified that I was coming at them. Singing the Whalers theme song. Yeah, they were horrified, man. Like 6'5" guy staggering down the way. Da da da! It's like ah!
I probably thought you would wipe. If you had
fallen,
you probably would have wiped them all.
I probably would have. I didn't. I was careful. I ate 16 hot wings or 18 hot wings or something.
Yeah, oh, Jerry,
he ate more than I did last night.
Oh, wow. I had like how many hot wings have you had? Insane wings have you ever had?
Me, two.
Hey, smart. You know how many I had last night?
Six or seven.
It was, oh man, it was, forget it. They did not agree with me.
They increased the level
learned,
of lethality.
I am now wing free. I am wing free.
Wing free.
I am a state.
Wing free
I'll
and
have,
sober.
I can have, the medium ones are reasonable. Those are unreasonable. That's why I
found the first one was a little difficult, but after that it got easy. You just numb your mouth and chew on.
I couldn't.
You got to drink a lot of Guinness. You weren't drinking enough.
Yeah.
You were not drinking enough. You got to Guinness wings. And I've concluded this, Jerry. I've come up with a new formula. If Guinness equals food, then hot wings equals drink. That's my new theory. That's my new equation. Sillard's equation. Oh, Mark, I'm falling into the same reverie again. Be glad you're not driving me home. I'm going to yell to the world. I'm going to tell the world I love you.
Yeah, it's a cruiser. Well, Ray timed his yell out the window perfectly. We're going by that mobile station. And there was a police cruiser who stopped there. And there he was going,
Yeah, that was good. The funny thing is, the moment it came out of my mouth, a bell went off on my head. I didn't see the cruiser, but on my mind's eye saw the cruiser. And I said, Mark, we're being followed by a cruiser. And he said, what are you talking about? A moment later, he came in your rearview mirror.
Yeah.
That cruiser bell in your mind when you're you know, somewhat illicit in your lifestyle.
Yeah.
You listen to it and it's very loud. It's set on loud. It's like the radio alarm clock where you turn all the way up.
Every time I was driving
Philly. Yeah, clean.
I did a right on red. It's pretty illegal, but it's like as soon as I did it, I heard the cop pulled over. Because I thought, I don't know what I was getting for. It was the one that was supposed to do it on.
Yeah.
And it's like, Phil was like, I'm clean, I have ID. And I was like, I'm clean, I have ID.
Yeah, but you see, the thing of it is that I took a different view on this ID thing in the depths of my...
Why did they give you your driver's license?
The guy asked for Mark Charette's license, insurance, and registration, and he handed it all over. And I remember your hand was shaking.
This guy says he's LaBamba Smith, right?
No. And so he checks out Mark. Mark's obviously fine. And then he says, does your friend have ID? And I said, no. And then he said, what's your name? And I said, my name is Smith.
LaBamba Smith, Rotundo.
And he said, what's your full name? I said, Raimundo Smith.
And now you can get in trouble for giving a false name to a cop. That you can actually.
I was drunk. I was drunk.
That's not all. You can get trouble for that.
I don't have any idea. I mean, I'm drunk.
You can get trouble for being drunk as long as you're...
Yeah, you can. Public drunkenness.
I was in a car.
No,
yeah,
he was in a car.
He's screaming out the window.
Yeah, he could have. He could have busted me. He did. He could have busted me. He did.
Well, it's plain, but the driver was okay.
Yeah. I should have been thankful that he didn't, but you know, I didn't care. Yeah, I was out of control, man. I was
out of control.
I was out of control. I was fucking too. So I'm now going to read a story called Sickness.
Sickness as a health.
Yes. Or lack of health. And if you would like to play a little impromptu introduction to a story you haven't heard on the theme of sickness, think of it philosophically, physically, physiologically, cosmologically.
Proctologically.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
I enjoyed
it. A rough outline of Eminence Front.
Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, it sounded vaguely familiar, but also sounded not familiar at all.
Good job.
All right. I'm going to read the first half, and then we'll have everybody else read, Jim play, and then I'll read the second half so that, you know, we'll do it like that. This story is called Sickness. A new fiction, and it begins with an epigraph from Raymond Carver, who is a good writer. I recommend him. Raymond Carver writes what's called minimalist fiction, but he does it quite well. And Raymond Carver, in the 1983 story Cathedral, writes, "So he kept on with it. His fingers rode my fingers as my hand went over the paper. It was like nothing else in my life up to now." And here is the first half of Sickness.
I work with a client a lot and ask him how he is, and he goes, "A little sick, but mostly healthy."
I think he must be a little sick. Yes. Best to explain things simply. Small words, short sentences. Stop all this needless, dangerous elaboration. A little elaboration then, okay? A couple of strange images by way of illustration. Just don't get so excited all the time. Can't do it, can you? Can you, you big dumb loser fuck? It's all here, here, there is no there. It's all here and now. Eternity and infinity, you're convinced in spreading stickiness in the universe, aren't you? Yes, convinced, spreading. So of course he can't be a little sick and that's all. No. Way you go about it, his sickness will affect molecules and supernovas everywhere. His sickness is light. Look, his sickness is outside this joint, wavering madly about Harvard Square, knocking into cops, skateboard punks, the ghosts of old Puritans, mysterious roaming presences of every kind. His sickness is on TV tonight, part of every movie being filmed this fall, every poem, no matter how secretly, being written. His sickness is light, but it is also music, vibrating outward. 1,000 intertwined guitars, a steep hillside of piano, chords major and minor, notes, clefs, scales, listen, everywhere. Such is his sickness, whether it would like to be or not. Such it is on the border of this fictional universe and the common world.
And it's a poem about the most recent 24 hours of my life. Well, most recent 24 hours at the time this was written. Yeah. And I kind of got an inspiration for how to structure it when I was reading the notebooks of Leonardo da Vinci.
Huh.
And I came across three lines at the end of toward the very end of his notebook, and there were three lines that seemed totally disconnected, but I liked the way they kind of stood together in a lyrical way.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of the poem is the Italian for one of the lines. It's called Ancora Spero.
Ancora Spero.
What is that? Yeah, I am still hopeful.
Ooh. I like that a lot. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
So I incorporated the three lines at the beginning and the end of the poem. So those are Da Vinci's, and the middle part is mine.
Okay.
Time, a falcon. I am still hopeful. Dreams of stopped ears and a certain mark of death. Unseated from ecclesial reverie with a gift of champagne. Declarations of love for Rumi and an absent voice. A yell into abysmal town followed by flashlights and leather. Woman unsated by skin and woeful calculation. Green jugglers prayed past, silent. An afternoon slated for weariness. I am still hopeful. A falcon. Time.
Man. Yeah, that's good, Mark. Yeah, I like that.
We'll figure that one out next week.
That was good, Mark. I like that one.
That'll be next circle.
Yeah, that was Squadron Eagle.
Pentacle. Form of pentagram. I still laugh about that.
FN Sweeney is directing him. FN. You have to let the soap activate. I like to take a walk. I like to take a walk around the store in the boots while it's soaking. It really ticks off the night manager. Remember, you have to be finished here by 11, no later. That's when Todd comes in to do the specialty meets. Willow, opening the door. Hey, you, I like the outfit. FN, hello, Betty. Willow, it's Willow. FN, I'm FN. Willow, what's the FN stand for? FN, say it fast. Willow, oh, I get it. Pauses. No, I don't. But I'm sure Xander will explain it to me later. And there's probably more. It says, cut to cemetery. Angel, say Buffy, I like the outfit. Buffy turns back to him, but Angel has disappeared. Like I said, it's all kind of spotty.
Yeah.
Act 2, scene 1, library. Buffy is reading the driver's manual. Willow is at the computer terminal. Giles is pacing. Xander and Cordelia are... Xander, Lisa is almost as much as I am.
Because
I force him to watch it.
Yeah.
Xander and Cordelia are sitting at the library table. Willow, darn, no missing girls! Buffy, isn't that a good thing? Willow, yes, in most cases it would be. I've checked the missing persons database, I can't find any match. So where did the ring come from, and whose body did Cordelia see? Obviously, there's a lot missing.
Yeah.
Giles, to Cordelia, are you sure it was human? Cordelia, I think I know a person when I see one. Xander, I know several freshman boys who might disagree there. But I saw it too. It was a human hand. Cordelia, I have things to do, so I'll be leaving. Don't let me know what you find. I mean, everything with you guys is so ooey. Cordelia leaves. Giles, I believe I can access some text on the subject. The Whitaker Concordance has something about essential salts. I can research the uses of dead bodies. Xander, gotta admit she's right about the U factor. Giles, I might even be able to place a trunk call to a chap in Massachusetts about the actual Necronomicon. Xander, oh, the book you can get at the mall? Willow, Giles. No, the real one. The mall version is rather derivative Satanic Bible, an Aleister Crowley-like effort to capitalize on the interest in the preternatural. Xander, like How to Make Friends and Influence the Undead? Sounds like a book for Angel. Willow, aren't we losing sight of the real problem? The body in the stop and shave? Save? Giles, yes? Perhaps we need some field research. Buffy, I think you need a job. Buffy, I have a job. I mean, it would be moonlighting, but it's a job. Willow, that would be so cool. We could take our breaks together. Xander, meeting in the break room, isn't that different from meeting in cemeteries?
That's as far as I got. Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, that's good, man. I like that. Nothing begins. Nothing ends. The bar at Lunatice Cafe was crowded, loud, noisy, noise, colors, laughter, a dozen different conversation, a dozen's dozen. Another perfect night in the universe, I say to the Scotch swilling fellow to my left at the bar. Not a regular at this place. I suppose. Eternity, infinity, art, whatever. What's your beef? His eyes are very small and glittering black. He razors off a piece of air between us with his stare. I like reality, he says, sitting here with a drink, working 60 hours a week, busting my ass for a shot at the good life, a lady friend when I have time and need. What's all this to me? I look at you and I see a man who's running away from everything, needs, responsibilities, all that void and not void shit. It's not real. It means nothing to nobody. I stand. And me? What if it means something to me? What if you're missing something here? What if I'm right and you're wrong? He shrugs, turns back to his drink. What if? Makes no difference to me. I've got a mortgage, a thirst, an expensive suits fetish to support. I finish this drink, go home, check the mail, make sure the security alarm is on, watch a little news, maybe read in bed for a while. John Grisham. You probably don't like him. Sometimes I watch a video. This is funny. I rent porn behind the curtain at the local Video Magic. It's better than warm milk to put me to sleep. Funny. I'm still standing, trying to make out his voice while his back is to me. But now he turns back to me. Do what you want, friend, but don't think that strange is better, that your juggling act is enough. All you need really is the pumping fist in your chest and the 3 gray pounds in your skull. No more. He kills his drink, stands. Smaller than me, but doubts me so well that I almost tilt back to see his face. You'll be all right, he says. I wait for more, for completion, for a line to keep. His mouth opens, then shuts. He smiles, shakes his head, brushes past me, is gone. Nothing begins. Nothing ends. I'm not at that fictional bar anymore in that fictional city. I'm in a slim blue van, nighttime, parked in front of my friend's house. Suburban neighborhood. Road construction. Autumn leaves everywhere. Good high rock music on my Walkman. I think I must be a little sick. No matter the many years one quests in through art, she can still kick your ass. Does, has. No one can help you. That you continue is your choice, but it's all unnecessary unless you decide otherwise. And if you do, and further, you come to embody the decision you've made, there is no return, no retreating in the tunnel to where you once were. Finally, Americus is sleeping a nice deep sleep, is still, but stirs once in a while. Rebecca is using a crushed tip pencil to sketch his likeness, going slowly, watching street lamp through the window illumine him, real, here, now. Scattered words from the party recur to her, but she is relaxed, is sketching with soft strokes, sometimes stops and just looks at him. Sick or well, she doesn't care. The new trace across her expression hides itself right now. Time enough for that another day. Time enough in general when you're almost 17 and eternity's gentle stroke still warms your back. America's now 37, and perhaps his sickness is that self-same stroke wanting to reach him again. I am 33, and I know that eternity's gentle stroke has chased me and eluded me for many years, and that nothing really changes in this cosmic perfection. The fist in my chest is doing its job well. The pounds in my skull continue to contrive my singular consciousness in unimaginable ways. I watch this page and see pretty young Rebecca America sketching her sleeping father's portrait. I see into this sleep and can view into his sleep and view briefly its empty ocean. The crowd at Lunatice Cafe drink and roar for more, always more. Hopes and blessings shine up there behind those rain clouds. Yes, to continue to praise, to doubt, to writhe, to pursue. Convinced it will all be different tomorrow. Yet it will all be still here, spreading, news, views, joys, and woes. It's all here and now, eternity and infinity. You're convinced in spreading stickiness in the universe, aren't you? Yes, yes, convinced, spreading. End.
Good. I saw most of it.
Fuckers. Yeah. I told you it was a little more personal. Personal in a different way. Yeah, so that is sickness. Sickness, a new fiction.